We've got lots of support from Hampshire as well, so very pleased with everything.
It's very kind of you. I'm going to say one thing. I don't mean to be churlish.
Go on.
When I'm here, I'm Isle of Wight. Yeah. I'm the Director of Children's Services of the Isle of Wight.
I know.
And I'm at Hampshire as well. Do that in my spare time. Yeah. But I'm here for the Isle of Wight. And I want you to know that.
Right, we're now on to the adoption.
I'll start. I'm sure Cathy and Steve may have chipped in as well. I can give the lead members to page G15. I know you would have read the report and in detail. If we go to G15, then what we've actually got there is a summary of the strengths of the adoption service, which is now, of course, the regional adoption agency. For the last year, which this report covers slightly more than 1 year. Some of the data goes back 2 and 3 years. And then moving on to G16, I'll pick out some of the areas of work for the next year, and I think that will succinctly lead members through what the main issues in the report are. So some of the strengths, and again, I won't pick them all out. Matching Ireland children to Ireland adopters where it's appropriate and safe. When I first came to the Isle of Wight, Isle of Wight children weren't placed for adoption on the Isle of Wight. There had been a blanket policy that they would always be placed on the mainland. Yeah. Something I questioned and said that didn't seem appropriate, that we needed to consider each case on a case-by-case basis based around the needs of the child. And I'm pleased to say that happens on a relatively regular basis now, which I think is, the whole service has changed in terms of its maturity. So improved timeliness of stage one assessment, so that when we meet prospective adopters and begin the first stage of the process. Continued timeliness of stage two, which is strong, so that's the more detailed assessment. Numbers of children linked with prospective adopters, it's a really good process that's been established now. The timeliness of scorecards 1, 2, and 3, and they are detailed for you at page G13 and G14 for the detail. But they are, again, so really over the last 3 years, we've seen a really striking improvement in timeliness around the work that the adoption team are doing. The numbers of children adopted is a strength. And I would say the way that the adoption team works with the social work teams who work with the children, they work in parallel and it works. It's with some real strength. So there's lots of positives and evidence of progress. And then we move on to sort of looking ahead and some of the areas that we need to focus on. So obviously to integrate fully and work alongside the regional adoption agency. And the early evidence of the impact of the regional adoption agency, remember that Isle of Wight, Hampshire, Portsmouth and Southampton, so the combined Hampshire authorities, the core adoption processes are now being managed across the Pan-Hampshire area. And what we've seen is we had a aware it's a public meeting, so I won't give too much detail. We had a difficult to place child who we really were keen to place for adoption because we knew that was the right thing, and the courts had said that was the right thing. Once the regional adoption agency became established, they had a much bigger pool of adopters to look at, and so that child was placed for adoption, and the right couple were found for that child. That would not have been anywhere near as easy. Not indeed, it wouldn't have been possible under the old arrangement. So there's some real benefits for the Isle of Wight in joining up under those processes. The bullet point towards the bottom of the list on page G16 to continue to make full use of the adoption support fund. So we can access that. There's money available, but social workers actually have to make the case out and provide the evidence. And we're really good at doing it, but we could be better, in my view. And that's an area that we know we need to focus on. And then the Isle of Wight Hub has a target for 50 adoption support needs assessment to include reviews. So again, about expanding the amount of work that we're doing in a timely way and delivering quality. So there's a lot in this report. It's quite technical in places. Cathy, is there anything you want to add?
Well, just to add in terms of since Adopt South started earlier this year, Stuart's identified it was a particular case, but it's really good to report that we've got no children waiting to be matched currently. So, as and that's we haven't had that position, well, certainly since I've been in my post on the
Williams
as well. So we've seen already a really significant improvement because we now have got a much bigger catchment in terms of those prospective adopters, so we're able to adopt, sorry, we're able to match those children based on the children's needs and skills, etc. experience of those adopters in that bigger number of potential people that can do that.
Parallel planning is undertaken. I understand, but who's involved in the parallel planning?
So the adoption team will be aware that there's a, let's use a typical example, a young baby that actually Children's Services, the social work team, are going to court to say, we really don't think this baby can be cared for by this parent or these parents, and the baby should be removed and placed for adoption. So the adoption team will then be all aware of that case, follow it through and be ready to progress the adoption should the court agree that's what needs to happen. So the two services work in parallel.
Right.
Hence the phrase parallel planning.
Right, okay, thank you. Yes, Councillor Howe?
I want an opinion whether it's a good idea to have an adoption panel and people that are... the other panel, sorry.
Fostering.
Fostering panel, working, integrated.
Combining them. I think one of the difficulties is, and you actually raised it yourself, is they're very, very different tasks.
Yeah.
So it's different being an Isle of Wight foster carer to how it's being an Isle of Wight connected carer. That's, you know, there's big differences there, as you rightly said. And I think it's even more different when it comes to adoption. More complicated because
I've done both.
Yes,
but sometimes I think that some of the children that are fostering sometimes go on to be adopted by the fostering carers.
They're foster children, yes.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, you know, whether it would be a good idea, and what I also noticed that sometimes when you've got a fostering panel and you've got a lot of cases coming up, trying to get a full panel together
yes.
may be a bit pushed, and you could take someone from adoption to work in the fostering and vice versa.
It's an interesting point. I think it's a fair question. It's probably now, because of the government requirement to have a regional adoption agency, it's now a hypothetical question because we have to have a separate adoption panel.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Trying to make it a point. I just wanted to know what your opinion was.
Yeah.
My opinion would be if you've got capacity to keep them separate, I would keep them separate because they are different tasks. But I do agree there is an efficiency thing there about running them together sometimes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? No, well, again, thank you for the report. I think we've noted it and one or two questions asked.